Hello, hi, ladies and gentlemen. Dee in the house here, or shall I say, somebody else's house. And we're in the wonderful, you might have seen him on my stream there lately, and his name is Ciarán Morrissey. Now, Ciarán is the man that blew the whistle on the Marburg virus. The Marburg being is what he's going to explain to you now, and it's got to do a lot with him bringing in more lockdowns and keeping this farce going. But for some reason, they haven't mentioned the Marburg because this man, brave man, Mr. Morrissey, is going to introduce himself to you and he's going to tell you why he blew the whistle on it. So, Ciarán, would you like to introduce yourself to the audience there and tell them where you are, where you work, and how you got involved in all this?
Well, I'm from my previous videos, you'll probably know that I'm a hospital engineer in a major academic teaching hospital in Dublin. I've been there for the past 22 years, where I've gained a lot of experience and insight into the operation of the healthcare system in Ireland, and specifically the HSE and the way it works. Previously, I had a lot of varied experience in all sectors. I spent a number of years in New Jersey in a consulting engineering firm designing research facilities for the US military, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Army. So I have a fairly wide experience that it helps me look into various different issues, and I'm a fairly critical thinker. Doubting Thomas, if you will, and using those skills, I typically uncover a lot of things that most people would rather not have exposed. I've done so even in my own hospital where I work. I have numerous, I think my bosses will tell you about the numerous protected disclosures I've made regarding different fire safety and health safety issues in the hospital. I won't go into those, but I'm the kind of guy that can't keep a secret and has to tell the truth when I find it. I don't tell the truth if I don't believe it and I can't prove it. If I tell you something, it is the truth, it is a fact, and it is not something that I imagined or concocted. I have the evidence to prove it, and it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yes, and on that, Ciarán, you did the Marburg video, which was fantastic, went viral all over the place. Okay, and with the Marburg virus before that, the book of evidence has been handed in to Kevin Street Garda Station, as you know, right? Now, the fourth part was handed in, as I was myself with the man Dave, who's handed in the book of evidence, and you are a very important witness in that book of evidence, is that correct?
Correct, I'm the expert witness on the death statistics, because one of the biggest claims in those criminal complaints is the fact that Tony Houlihan and Neffet carried out statistical fraud, and they concocted 2,200 COVID deaths that didn't actually happen, and I was able to prove that using data from RIP.ie.
Right. Now, since that's been done, right, we now have last week and this week, only two nights ago, where the fifth part, we had done fourth, but then two small, more smaller parts with more information that you come up with was handed into Kevin Street Garda Station only last week. And that was more parts of very good information from yourself and from Dave and from other people. Well, you being a very, very important witness in this whole book of evidence, you find now you're getting a lashback from certain people, from certain organisations, to, you think, to stem your voice. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. A lot of strange things have been happening in my life. One thing, like, which seems small in the last few weeks, I've never really had a problem with money. I'm very good with my money, and I've never overdrew or anything. And all of a sudden, I'm having my credit cards being cancelled up to 10 times a day by MasterCard. Claiming that there's suspicious activity. Like in one instance, it was a 99 cents charge to Microsoft for an upgrade to a video, for a video driver on my laptop. 99 cents. Like, that is obviously very, very strange to have this. And as it stands now, I can't use any of my credit cards.
They right. Keep,
if I phone up MasterCard now, they'll tell me it's unblocked. Mm-hmm. And if I try to top up my phone, it will be blocked again.
So since you've became this very important witness against members of the establishment, is what I call it. I wouldn't call them a government because they were not voted in by the people. The establishment, the cabal, that's here in Ireland, which
deep
is
state.
Yes, which is the puppets for the cabal, the deep state. Okay. Since you became this very important witness, you've been experiencing a lot of threats to your life. Now, we've been told the reason we're here is there was a threat on your life the other night, two nights ago, in your home here.
Tuesday night.
Where you will see people, as you will be shown the video in a couple of seconds, where you can see Ciarán open the door here to my right when he heard a lot of fracas go on outside. You knew right there and then you said that your life was in danger. Is that correct? Can you tell the people from there what happened while the video there is playing?
Well, I was preparing for a radio show that I was asked to participate in. It's a worldwide radio show. It's called WTF Radio World. We Tell the Truth Radio. It's a pretty big radio station around the world, and I was due to go on air at 9 o'clock, and I was preparing and rereading some of my documents, and I heard a noise outside at the main gate, and I looked at my CCTV monitor, and I could see that the two men in hoodies were trying to pull the gate down, trying to get into the property. So I opened the back door here beside you, and I shouted down, "The guards are on their way, get out of here." And I could see them running up the driveway, and they started shouting at me that they were going to kill me. They were here to kill me. And I were in bars, and I think knives with them. I couldn't, it was dark. So I closed the back door, locked it, grabbed my laptop, which had the CCTV on it, and locked with my mobile phone. I had dialed 999 at that stage, and I was talking to the Gardaí, and I locked myself in my bedroom and watched the CCTV footage as they came up, and they tried to get in the window here, right here. They smashed and smashed. They got through the first pane and almost got through the second pane. And I think at this stage, they got worried about time because it's a very long road from Swords into, from Donabate. There's two roads into Donabate. There's only one road from Donabate to Portrane. So they would have been trapped. If the guards were coming, they would have been caught on the road.
So they were caught with time. From the time you said the guards are coming, they knew they only had minutes to get to do the damage and get out.
To kill me. And they only had a few minutes to kill me. And I suppose they assumed that I was going to confront them. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to do. So they turned on the car, smashed all the windows on the car. They ran out the driveway. And they had two cars. They had a stolen car that they had been using all day, driving up and down the road outside here. In an intimidating manner. And I thought it might be some local yokels, and I didn't report it to the Gardaí, but I got it all on CCTV anyways. They're well captured. And that car came back later in the dark with another car, I think it was a black Audi, the guard said. And when they were escaping, they burnt the silver
outside the gate,
set it on fire, and they escaped in the black Audi. And eventually, after a while, the fire brigade arrived. I think the neighbour called it.
How long was it again the fire brigade arrived?
They were fairly quick. I'd say they were here in 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
And I was locked in my bedroom and I wouldn't go out until the guards came.
How long did it take for the guards to come?
The guards didn't get here for 2 hours. So I was locked in my bedroom, and at that stage I opened the bedroom window. I could see them on my back laneway here, and I shouted out, "Are you the guards?" And he says, "Yes, we'll be into you in a minute."
So they didn't even come to check on you to see if you were okay?
No, they went, walked off, and it was another half, so it was 2.5 hours waiting for the guards.
So they were on your property, but it was another half hour again they came to speak to you to see if you were okay?
I was still locked in the house, and I wouldn't go until somebody came.
You must have been petrified.
Because, you see, at this stage I didn't actually know whether the two men had actually left the area, whether they were still on foot in the area. So if I went outside the house, I was afraid they could be hiding anywhere. I have an acre of land here. They could be hiding in the bushes and the trees, and they could pounce on me. So I there was no way I was going outside. And I had no weapons, no protection. I was on my own. And the Gardaí just didn't seem to be interested. And in fact, when the Gardaí arrived, I think the fire brigade had actually extinguished the fire and left.
Oh my God.
And their main concern seemed to be to remove the burnt out car from the road. They got Gannon's recovery then to remove the car. And that seemed to be the only thing they were interested in. Eventually they came in to me after 2.5 hours, and I showed them the footage where some of the neighbours had spoken to these people who were driving up and down the road earlier, and I said, those two neighbours over there know who these are, or could be involved in it. They spoke to them outside. You could see them on the CCTV. They weren't interested.
They didn't even go speak to the neighbours?
No. At that stage, they said they had to talk to one of the neighbours who was upset because the car that burnt out was right outside her gate.
Oh, my God. They had to talk to the neighbour because the neighbour was upset. Yeah. But you were in here, locked in your bedroom.
Smashed. Yeah.
And your window's been smashed in on top of you. They'd crowbars and other things in the hand that looked like knives. That looked like knives. Because you can see on the CCTV, it's pretty dark.
Yeah.
So they were worried about the neighbour being upset.
You can see the shining. Yeah. So like it was something flat and shiny. So I assumed they were knives.
Yeah. I noticed one of the thugs was up on like a wall or something. Were they trying to take down a CCTV?
No, they were trying to pull the gate down or get across it.
One of them was on the ground pulling the gate down, but the one up on the wall...
He was trying to get over the fence, but I had barbed wire on it, so he probably tore all his hands and his arms on it. I had all barbed wire wrapped around it, and on the top of the gate I have all nails sticking up on it. So he probably got cut on that as well.
Yeah.
And then eventually the other guy pulled the gate down.
Well, I went through the footage inch by inch last night, and you can see, as well as the hoodies on them, they have got balaclavas on them also.
Okay.
They've got gloves on. But when the lad pulling your gate down to sunder, he actually falls backwards.
Yes.
And the guardie didn't bother.
Didn't bother. They haven't actually come to take my statement. They promised they would come the following night, take my statement and take the CCTV.
And they've took nothing?
No. The guard called me last night then to cancel and said he was going off duty and he had a course to do and he had this to do and that.
So that was more important than your life?
Than my life. So now he's gone off duty and there's nobody in the Guardian sorts with any interest. I have to wait until he comes back on duty sometime next week after he's done his course.
So has anyone from the Garda in Swords come to check on you to see if your well-being is okay?
No.
Have you got a phone call from the Garda to see if you are doing okay?
No, the only phone call I got was to cancel last night when he was supposed to come and take...
No victim support has got in touch with you, nothing?
Nothing.
And you're a man that was here on your own?
61 years old.
61 years old, okay. And you were here on your own, and you're a very important witness in a criminal case.
Mm. And I told the guards this.
And even though that you think that has a lot got to do with what happened to you in your home.
Well, these people were not like local yokels. They were professionals. You could see the way they were armed, the way they operated, the way they were watching the clock when they started. Mm-hmm. If they were locals, they wouldn't have, you know what I mean, they wouldn't have come in cars, and they wouldn't have, you know what I mean. There's often a little bit of trouble around the area, but nothing like that. And these people were real prepared.
They were prepared.
There were three of them in the car earlier, so there obviously was one guy waiting in the black alley.
Yeah, but I was going to say that about the black alley. If you zoom in where you see the burnt ground, you will see that where the car was waiting, it left burn marks from the tyres where it got away that fast. Where they pulled down from the side to go, you can actually see the burnt tyre marks. Mm. And the Garda took nothing from this, no evidence, nothing.
No interest whatsoever in the thing. All he was interested in was the woman next door. She was a bit upset because...
She was a bit upset. You almost had your life taken.
Because there was a car burnt outside her gate as well.
You shared the way, yes, I see that on the way in.
And there were three of them earlier, so I assume there was three later.
Yeah.
Because you could see there was a driver in a darker hoodie and the other in the grey. So the darker hoodie stayed in the car. Mm-hmm. He was the getaway driver. And the other two came in to do the attack.
Mm-hmm.
And they were obviously professionals. They were working the clock.
What could you hear them shouting, Ciarán?
We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you.
They were shouting very loud because you can't hear it on the audio.
No.
But that's what they were shouting.
There's no audio on those two cameras that we were...
We're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. Oh my God, and the Garda did absolutely nothing. They were more worried about a woman that was worried about a burnt stain outside the gate.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is an absolute disgusting.
And as I stand now, I'm here on my own. I did call the guard back that night after he left because I went on air and I wasn't going to let that intimidation stop me. I went on air on WTF. After the attack.
Yes.
And I did. And now I was supposed to do 2 hours, but they delayed my.
You must have been in an awful state.
I was very shooken, but I think I did a good show. I did my best because I wanted to get the Marburg out. The whole
I wanted to ask you.
At that stage, I was convinced that the whole because it was right immediately before the radio show that the whole attack was staged to prevent me from going on air.
That's what I was going to ask
you. Telling everybody about Marburg.
Yeah.
And I said, well, if that's what they want, that's what they're not going to get.
Yes.
I'm going to go on air. If I have to go on crying, mm-hmm. whimpering, I'm going to tell everybody about
well,
it. I was able to hold my own. Yes. I was able to have a good conversation.
You were standing in your truth and you knew.
And I told everybody about it. So their attack was absolutely wasted and useless.
And I have to commend you for that, Ciarán. Mm-hmm. You were a very, very brave man. Mm-hmm. And thank you on behalf of the people of Ireland for your bravery.
Well, this is more for the people of the world.
If there was more people like you around the world, we wouldn't be in this state.
No. Yeah.
We wouldn't. People that would stand up to thugs like this, where do they come from? The forces. Where do they come from? This private company that's belonging to Dun and Bradstreet. Whether it be the thugs belonging to any of those organisations. Shame on them. Shame on every single one of them. How they close their eyes at night, I don't know.
Well, the only way they were going to stop me from going on that radio show that night was if they did get through the window and kill me. Because mm-hmm. there's nothing going to stop me from telling what I knew.
This is what we need around the world, as you say,
and
not
everybody just else, every nurse, every doctor, every politician who has the information, I would plead to you now to tell what you know. Because if you don't, the world will be over as we know it. We'll have the New World Order, we'll have Human 2.0, we'll all be robots, injected 10 times a day with all sorts of microchips and dangerous chemicals. And this is what they want. They just want a slave population.
Yes.
And this is what this
and
is all about.
And a depopulation.
Yeah. Well, that's the Marburg story mm-hmm. that we haven't got mm-hmm. to yet. Mm-hmm.
So can we get to that now and just let the people know? I know I put a video up there on overdwall.com of your story on the Marburg. So you did. You are very explanatory in that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So explanatory that even I understood every word of it. So people that we do need to lay things out in layman's terms for, you are very explanatory in that way. So can you just give us another little insight into where you think we're going to go now from here if they do attempt to bring this Marburg as a new variant, a new virus?
Well, we're a bit behind the ball. My objective after March was to make sure that there was going to be no second phase to the COVID thing. I became very fearful in March this year that the COVID and the COVID injections weren't the real deal, that it was some sort of a prelude. And recently I became suspicious that what they were going to do was bring out a new virus, maybe a new rare flu virus or something like that, and then that start a new pandemic and bring out a new, more deadly, toxic vaccine to kill people. So I had been on my antenna were up and I was watching out for something and I couldn't really see it because it was right in my face. Mm-hmm. Like everything else in COVID, it was right in our faces mm-hmm. and we're so busy with our own lives, trying to make money, feed our children, try to survive, that we don't see the truth that's out there in front of us. And it's been out there in front of everybody. I didn't find something that was hidden, that was something secret. I just put all the pieces that were out in the open together.
This is it.
It was a puzzle.
They're not hiding it.
There was a piece there. And I'm quite visual and graphic. I'm a little bit dyslexic. And I put things, because I'm an engineer, we work on drawings. I saw these pieces and I just put them together. And what tipped me off was I was watching a video of that was sent to me by a good friend in Health Freedom Ireland. And she sent me a video of a Qantas pilot getting dressed, putting on his tie, singing a song, and then saying that this is my last day at work because I'm not taking the vaccine. And he's about my age, or a little younger, and he was saying, I'm not putting up with this, and the world needs to wake up, and this is probably my last day. And I, you know, he was talking about the whole thing. But in the middle of it, he said, and if you think this is all over, the next one is Marburg, and they have a vaccine for it. And I just stopped the video. It hit me like a hammer. And I said, Marburg? What the hell is Marburg? And I went straight onto Google, and I Googled the hell out of it. And the first thing I found out was Bill Gates, Gabby, big article, Marburg is the next big pandemic. Went on, WHO, Marburg is the next big pandemic. Irish Times, WHO, you know, repeating it. Videos from Tedros and WHO going on and on about Marburg, the next week. Then I Wikipedia Marburg, and I thought, Marburg, it's nothing. It happened in 1963. It's over. Since 2005, there's been 16 deaths since 2005.
And they're calling this a pandemic.
The next pandemic. I said, like, what the hell does Bill Gates know that we don't know? Like, he can see into the future. I said, this is it. This is it. And the next thing I Googled was, how do they test for it? Lo and behold, a new rapid test, PCR test.
Oh my
from Marburg. Why would somebody spend all that money and all that research and all that effort developing a PCR test for something that only killed 16 people since 2005? It's ridiculous. I said, uh-oh. Then I looked further and I said, well, how is it spread? And the first paper I found was a paper stating that it was spread asymptomatically by fruit bats. And I said, oh my God,
there's no such thing as asymptomatic.
There's no, in humans. But yeah. They were publishing these papers to confuse people. Apparently there is, I won't get into it, but there is a thing that's been misinterpreted as asymptomatic spread in bats. And it's because they hang upside down and they drip vitamin C from their stomach through their throat. It's been misinterpreted as it's not asymptomatic. They still have whatever it is in their system. So anyways, the next thing I said, well, what do we need then? We need a vaccine like all the others. And I Googled the Marburg vaccine and there came up Rivax. Ricin, a deadly toxin.
Ricin, isn't that what was used in the Tokyo underground to kill all those people?
Kill all the people.
Tell me how they kill the people with ricin, Ciarán.
Well, they have a number of ways they can release it, but it's a lectin that it comes from castor beans, castor bean oils that are refined, and it can be released, you know, as an oil, as powder. I think in the subway, I think it was
powder.
Powder.
Yes, they told the girls that they were taking part in a TV show and
they blew it into their faces. Yeah. That was it.
And they were dead within seconds.
It's very, very deadly.
And they are going to put this. Are you telling me, Ciarán?
That's the main ingredient
in the vaccine.
In your face, like, talk about hiding the lie, the secrets in plain view. And it was all there for everybody to see. And it's only when I took these puzzles and put them together, people, like, I'm horrified that nobody ever tripped across the webpage with the vaccine in it and said, what's this about? And then worked the other direction. I just saw it all together and just went, that piece, we have the whole thing, a final solution. Now, my big fear is, if then, of course, the big thing is the symptoms of Marburg are, what are they? Hemorrhagic fever.
The same as what the experimental trial they're calling a vaccine does to the people is the symptoms of the Marburg.
And bleed. And
so they're going to blame this on the vaccine damage.
Yeah.
Or sorry, the injection damage.
So no, the other way around. There's two ways that the vaccine causes the clots and the bleeds. One is the spike protein has the spikes on it and it tears the cell walls and it causes bleeds, which creates clots. So it's a double acting. The other thing is the graphene oxide that La Quinta Columna, the fifth column in Spain, have discovered in all the vaccines and has been discovered by other people since. Mm-hmm. But La Quinta Columna, you should look up their information. They discovered it initially a few weeks ago. And that is very dangerous because it clumps up the red blood cells into the graphene oxide. It's like a flat net, and it's like a net catching fish. Mm-hmm. It catches all your red platelets and clumps them up into clots. Mm-hmm. And it also is sharp, so it tears the walls of the cells.
I was watching that last night.
It's like a bit of barbed wire. a bit of mesh.
Does it not go into little beads for it, and then when it dries, it goes into this mesh? Is that what it
No, it's like chicken wire, say.
Yes.
Chicken wire.
That's what I was watching last night.
So it's like golf balls getting stuck in the chicken wire. So that clots the blood, and then the ends of the chicken wire that have been cut are all sharp, and they tear the cell walls in your body, and that causes the bleeds. So there's your hemorrhagic fever. Oh, so they have two ways of causing hemorrhagic fever symptoms in these. It was deliberate.
Right.
So it's obvious that it was deliberately put there. It's no accidents to any of this.
That's the depopulation.
And in my hospital alone, there's tons of people coming in with clots and bleeds, internal bleeds and clots, and the place is full of vaccine injured patients. I think we're at 125% capacity.
Before the rollout of the experimental trial jab, what was the hospital like?
Empty. They threw out all the patients, and they had
into nursing homes
and refused to take in cancer patients, all the normal illnesses. And there was like two or three wards open for COVID. They even cleared out the private hospital. They were paying the private hospital for doing nothing. So they had three wards, three of our newer wards in the Nutley wing, which had isolation units in them, I think. And they had them designated as COVID wards. And the rest of the wards were pretty much empty.
Yes, because I did a visit to quite a few hospitals myself and done streams on them. And we had Leo Varadkar and Alan Kelly screaming for a hospital, saying that they were even seen to the patients out in the car park. Yeah. So we went to that hospital. The ambulances were lined up empty, nobody in emergency. It was literally empty. We spoke to people. They said, we've been so quiet all day. And they were in the Dáil screaming, or in the convention centre, causing thousands a day. They were screaming for help. We have to help this hospital. It was all based on nothing but lies. Just like your hospital. It was empty until...
Empty. It only started to pick up when after I was off sick for a while. And when was it, April, May? I think it was after the nursing home deaths. It started to pick up again. They started to, there was a bit of a dip. If you look at my graphs on the
SS, Yes, I did.
In the dip, they started to ease up a little bit on the COVID wards and started to take in other patients, because the patients were starting to get very sick from the vaccines at that stage. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't hold back anymore. So they had to open wards for people who had vaccine injuries but weren't COVID. Positive.
But they weren't calling it back. They were saying people taking it with COVID.
Strokes, clots, myocarditis, pericarditis.
From COVID, not from the jab.
Yeah, and they weren't calling. And the thing that every patient was told, no, nothing to do with the vaccine. Nothing.
They're still doing that up to today.
Nothing to do with the vaccine, nothing to do with them. It's a, you know, you could be 20 years old and you go in with myocarditis, which is inflamed heart, right? You've never had a heart condition, you're perfectly healthy, and they're saying it's nothing to do with the vaccine. The only thing you've had different in your 20 years of life was that vaccine, and then your heart
enlarges
dangerously within days or weeks, and they say it's nothing to do with it.
Have you seen a lot of young people come in with this?
Yes, mostly young people.
Age?
You see people coming in like 20s, 30s, 40s, you know? Like, 40 is young to me now.
With the heart condition, is it mostly males?
That's what I'm reading into statistics now. I'm limited to what information I can, you know, most of mine is anecdotal evidence that I would get from just working around the hospital and keeping my eyes open. And maybe I'd hear an odd bit from a nurse or a doctor. I have no access to patient files or data, so, and I wouldn't even attempt to do that because I would be fired in a second.
But what you've seen with your own eyes was mainly young
lads. Yeah, I could see a lot of young people coming in, and you could tell you can tell by looking at them, you know, that they don't have a broken leg, they don't have a cut, they don't have a bruise, they're not coughing, they're not sneezing.
Yes.
And you can tell by looking at them, there's something else, there's some other reason they're there.
Yes.
There's dizziness. A lot of them come in with headaches, dizziness, cloudiness. That's all the clots starting to build up in the brain and start, you know what I mean, getting ready for a full stroke.
Yeah, I was in the Mata Hospital myself to get a new CCT, on my
CT scan
on my arm, and I was to go down to see the doctor from the clinic down into where the tent was, and an elderly lady was brought in, uncontrollable bleeding through her nose, and it just wouldn't stop. They rushed her out because they seen us sitting there.
Double jabs.
She just kept blaming her daughter for bringing her for the jab. She kept blaming her daughter, but it was uncontrollable. It was like a tap. It was literally like a tap turned on full.
And the problem with this is it's a catch-22 system, because, and I think the doctors all know this because we've got information sent to us on the general email in work about the clots and bleeds from haematology and other departments, and from the haematology consultants, saying how to treat these things. And I've read them and I don't fully understand them, but it seems to me they're very worried, because if you get clots, start to get clots, if they can determine that you're subject to clots and they give you anticoagulants, like, you know, blood thinners, warfarin or whatever, the problem is, because you also have the risk of bleeds from the tears, from the graphene oxide and the spike, that you could actually bleed to death internally.
I was just going to say,
or nose bleeds, or ear bleeds. So if they give you a medication to stop the clots, they could kill you bleeding. If you have bleeds and they give you a coagulant, something to increase your clotting, they could give you a stroke, because now your clotting gets worse. So they're damned if they do.
I've seen on social media,
they can't give you anything.
There's some talk about them giving blood thinners to children now before they give them the vaccine.
Yeah.
So from where do we go from here now? We've talked about the nursing homes, the amount of debt you've seen in the nursing homes. Have you anything to say on that before we moved on to...
Well, I did that research in March with Health Freedom Ireland. They came to me and said to me, look, did we go over this bit now?
No.
No, we didn't. So they came to me, they'd seen my data on total deaths from RIP, and they said, would I be able to investigate? There seems to be a high number of deaths starting again in the nursing homes in January and February. So I did my download on the death notices to pull out the nursing home deaths, and I coded them all by the 273 registered nursing homes. They're all registered with HICWA by name. And I graphed them all, and I found, and then they actually showed me, I hadn't realised that the government had published all the dates for the first vaccinations in the newspaper, which was a dumb thing for them to do, but that's our government for you, dumb as two planks. So I had the dates that the people were getting their first vaccination on, I had it in each nursing home, then I had the deaths, date of death and number of the deaths for each nursing home. So I put them all together into a spreadsheet, and I was able to graph it, and you could see that, you know, for the months leading in, you know, October, November, December, no deaths hardly, and then all of a sudden, you put the vaccination date, so I plotted them by nursing home, and you see each nursing home, vaccination death,
I went through the graphs,
and all of the nursing homes that went through this vaccination
rollout
all had massive deaths. I think the worst one we had was, if I remember, was Ballynoe in Cork.
That's right, yeah.
Where they killed 50% of the patients, 25, 26 patients in a 2-week period.
So they were slaughtered.
Slaughtered, murdered.
Slaughtered.
Genocide. Then what I did as part of that investigation, I have a problem with stopping when I start, so I'm into genealogy, so I used the research room in the GRO, which will probably be closed down when this video goes out, and obtained 50 of the death records through the genealogy research room. It's in Pettifer doing genealogy, and on those, and they were the ones that were filed. So I picked five of the worst nursing homes, and I got the death records and looked at the causes of deaths. And guess what the causes of death?
Go on.
COVID-19.
Oh, my God.
So when you look at it, you take the date of vaccination, and then you take, there were some of the deaths occurred on the same day of the vaccination. Some of them caused the day after, or a couple of days after, right? So they were put down as COVID-19 deaths. So if they had been vaccinated 2 or 3 days earlier, they would have had very, very bad symptoms of COVID.
Yes.
And they shouldn't have been vaccinated. So they either injected a very, very sick person with a vaccine, which is would be medical malpractice or malfeasus, as Dolores Cavanagh calls it, and that would be manslaughter, in my opinion.
Yes.
So it's either that, or the vaccine did kill them, and they lied and put COVID-19 on it. It's either one or the other. There isn't a third option.
No. And this is all in the book of evidence.
This is all in the book of evidence. It's also, you can also read it on some of my reports on LouRockwell.com. It's prima facie evidence. There's nothing. So I sent all this evidence off to the National Bureau of Investigation, the Gardaí, and I got a very nice letter saying, and I submitted it as a complaint that I of suspicious deaths. I found 1,000 of these deaths in the nursing home.
1,000 suspicious deaths, and they did what?
They wrote back to me and said they could see nothing suspicious about these deaths, even though they had been injected like days before they died with a new experimental gene therapy. There was nothing suspicious.
Experimental trial.
Yeah.
They were coerced into taking an experimental trial. They were not given informed consent. A lot of these elderly people you're seeing on videos being held and the vaccination being put into them. So they were murdered, in my opinion.
Murdered.
Slaughtered. Genocided. Yes.
You know, and you can sue me all you want because... And the reason I haven't been sued is because they don't want any of this to come out in the open. I can say whatever I want here. All they'll do is send another bunch of thugs up here to break my windows. They will not bring me to court and sue me for libel or for slander because the facts will come out in court and they don't want them to come out in court. What they want to do is terrorise me into keeping
into silence.
Silence. And actually, guys, it's going to have the reverse now. I'm going to speak more louder than I ever have now.
That's
because
what
you did here on Tuesday night. I am going to be more forceful. I am going to get on every channel that I can get on and I'm going to spill the beans on you. So, Micheál Martin... So Leo Varadkar, so Donnelly, the whole lot of you, my boss Donnelly, my own boss, all right, and Tony Houlihan, I am not afraid of you, and I'm not afraid of your thugs, and I will not rest until I see you in jail for crimes against humanity.
Here. Kieran, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being such a brave man and doing what you did and speaking out. And I know he has come back on you tenfold and you're being terrorised in your own home.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yes. Yes, but we need many, 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 many Kierans all over the world to come out and speak and stand up.
And the big thing I think I mentioned to you, the message that I want to get out at the end of this is that the only way we can save the world from the Marburg Rivax final solution is we have to get people to stop taking vaccinations.
Non-mask compliance.
We have to convince them. It's been proven beyond any shadow of a doubt that you still contract COVID if it's a real virus, no matter how many jabs you had. So there's no point in taking it if it doesn't work. If it's not effective, it's not efficient, there's no point in taking the vaccine. All it can do is harm. Mm-hmm. So why take it? Stop taking it. The only thing the vaccine can do is increase the blood clots, increase the bleeds in people in hospitals. That will look like hemorrhagic fever. They will use their new PCR test. They will declare a Marburg epidemic. They will use their ricin vaccine to vaccinate masses. And they'll be able to do it in a very short time because the infrastructure is already there. And what they'll probably do is they'll vaccinate everybody in the hospitals, kill them all, and say it was the Marburg that killed them and not the adverse reactions from the vaccine.
So
there'll be a cover-up for that. Then what they'll do is they'll do a mass lockdown. Nobody will be allowed to leave their houses because it's such a deadly disease. Internet, phone lines, everything will be shut down because nobody can go to work to maintain them. And you will not be allowed to leave your house until the people in the biohazard suits come to your house and inject you. So they'll all go door by door and inject everybody in their houses. And as they close the front door, the people will fall on the floor dead. And they won't be
We're seeing them drop already. I showed you a video before we started. In a train station.
Yeah.
You've seen the train driver drop. You've seen a young lad in the UK come out of a bus. And luckily enough, there was a lad there warning people of the dangers of this experimental trial. And he was asking them, have you been given informed consent? And the young lad passed by him and dropped down in front of him. So they are starting to drop already. As it is.
That's just from the COVID vaccine.
Yes.
But what I want to say is, what they're going to do is they're going to go door to door and nobody will know this happened because the bodies will just pile up and there'll be families dead in the houses and they'll go from door to door. They'll do a whole housing estate and nobody will ever leave that housing estate again. The bodies will just stay in the houses and rot.
Now, people is going to say that's very far-fetched now, Kieran.
Yeah,
and the reason they're going to say that is...
The reason
they should think twice of saying that is... They've got to remember, 2 years ago we stood at the GPO and Gemma Doherty got on our streams. I got on my streams. We warned them of the things that was coming, just like you're warning them now.
Nobody listened.
It was too far-fetched for them back then and they didn't listen. But now they know that the conspiracy theorists was telling the truth. Everything has come true.
No, you weren't conspiracy theorists.
No.
You were conspiracy factualists.
Factualists. And this is why, instead of saying what you said about us, that we were... they called us conspiracy theorists.
And I was one of the people calling yes. you tin hat people.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. A lot of people has come
that.
Around,
yeah.
yes. Yeah. And this is what I want to say.
I've only been a believer.
These people need to look back then when they it was too much for them to take mm-hmm. on. Even Gemma said it to me, they're not ready for this. They're not ready to hear this. But now that you know everything we said was true, wake up, listen to what this man is saying to you. If you don't think it can't come to your door, people, because I can tell you, it can't,
and you're going to be locked up in your house until the people in the biohazard suits come and inject your whole family. And if you object, they'll hold you down, they'll forcefully vaccinate you, and you'll be dead within minutes of them leaving the house. You won't be able to dial 9.
Because that's what Ryson does.
That's what Ryson does, and the phone lines and the internet will all be down. You won't be able to call for help, and even if you could, they wouldn't come anyways. Mm-hmm. And they'll go door to door to door. They'll do whole housing estates, whole apartments. Mm-hmm. They'll wipe out as many. I think they're aiming for 90% wipeout is what they're looking at on WHO.
So there you go. Now, you've been warned. You can't say you haven't been warned, people. You've been warned. And this warning is not like in the beginning 2 years ago at the GPO and on air streams, because you weren't ready for it. You've seen it happen. It's not like you haven't seen it. You've seen it happen. Take note to save your families. Because we're going to move on to the fact now if Dave is now going to have to be brought in to a certain Garda station. We are going to go there now where the statement Kieran. Is going to be... Kieran, what did I call you?
Dave.
Kieran is going... I'm used to going in with Dave for delivering the book yeah. of evidence. And we are going to go, and there's a sergeant now going to take his statement.
And video evidence.
And it is going to be, hopefully, an investigation into the attack on this man for trying to save the people's lives in Ireland. And before you go on the attack and say conspiracy theorists, look back to 2 years ago at the GPO. Look back to DeWall's streams. Look back to Gemma O'Doherty's streams. Look back for when you were warned before you call us conspiracy theorists. We are going to get ready now, and we are going to go to the Garda station, the three of us.
Kevin Street.
We're going to go there to Kevin Street Garda station.
Because swords won't do anything.
So, exactly. And as you said, you called 999, and you did call another number, and he hung the phone up on you, didn't he? Can you tell us about that? Before we hang up, we got...
No, I called 999 about four times.
Yeah.
And they just kept saying, they're coming. It took them 2 hours to get here.
But wasn't there something about you ringing the Bridewell, and they hung up when you told them that you were a witness?
Afterwards, Dave Egan suggested that I call some other Garda stations
yeah.
to, and I said, oh, look, I really don't want to. So he called them and said, would they call me so that I could make a statement? And I think it was the Bridewell called, and the minute I mentioned that Swords didn't investigate, they hung up on me. They said that's their problem. And there was somebody called, they said this is 999 phoned me. They said we had Dave Egan on saying that you're in a very dangerous situation there and that you needed help. And I explained to them, they said, so you're telling me Swords Gardaí did come? And they hung up on me.
They hung up on you also?
Once I mentioned that Swords Gardaí had been here, that was
and that you're a witness against all this tyranny.
I hadn't mentioned all that. I mm-hmm. said that I was in a dangerous situation. Mm-hmm. I needed protection. And they said, did you not call your local station source? I said, yes, but they're not doing anything. And just click.
Well, they won't be hanging up on you today, because we are going to be marching into the Garda station and demand action be taken against the thugs that tried to take this man's life to stop him speaking his truth. He will stand in his truth. You heard what he said. Hmm. And the only way you'll stop him standing in his truth is...
killing me. But there's no point now, because it's all out there.
It's all out there. And that's why we're doing this
it's
video.
It's on lewrockwell.com. Just Google Kieran Morrissey in Marburg and you'll see the whole group. And I have all the links on there with all the proofs, with all the links to Gavi, WHO, the Rivax, the PCR tests. It's all on there, so you can read it all and you can research it yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm not crazy. It's there.
Yes. And on that note, Dave, I'm going to say thank you very, very Kieran. Much for you. Kieran. I'm sorry, it is Kieran.
Kieran.
It's been a wonderful pleasure to interview you. And I'm going to just keep the camera on for a minute rolling, because I want to show you some of the damage that the thugs did, because they couldn't get through the window. They didn't have the time to get to Kieran, because he got himself locked in to the bathroom here in the back of the home.
The bedroom.
the back of the bedroom. And I'm just going to walk out, and he's going to show you now the damage that they done when they tried to get into his home. And we're just walking out here now. And they, you could see them run across the grass right here from the gate. And you could see them running. In the video, you'll see that he opened this door here to see where all the fracas was. And you could see them run across the green. And they got to his car here, where the weapons they had in their hands, they smashed all his car here, his windows. They smashed the windows of his car, as you can see here, where they used the hammer or whatever it was they had in their hands to do the windscreen. And they done all the windows here on this side. And then you can see in the video, one of them come here and they try to get in through this window because Dave locked that door there.
Kieran did.
Kieran locked that door there. And
they nearly made it through the second pane.
You see, there's two panes, which is why it didn't go in.
Double glazed and it's hard to break.
Yeah, and they just got the first layer of glass broken. And when that one didn't go in for them, they changed over to this window here.
And they didn't
where was the other window? They didn't get it.
They
really
didn't leave a mark on it. I think they were...
I seen a little scratch barely on it.
Yeah.
There's
they tried to put this one in, but it didn't go in. And they were running out of time.
The bigger the window, the harder
so it is. So they fled the scene back down through the lane. Now, it's too far for us where to go down to show you. But you can see in the video... You can see in the video where they burned the car out just at the gate down here. This is what I want to show you. They ran back down this laneway here.
The driveway.
The driveway. You can see the gate. They pulled the gate in the video where they smashed the gate. Now, this is where one of them was up here trying to climb over. And because of the barbed wire, it didn't work. And the other fellow was at the break in this gate and getting it open. And this is where they set the car on fire. You can see here where they set the car on fire. And I was hoping to show you where the other car sped away, but you won't know. Because of the rain has taken the tyre marks away. But you can see it in the video that there was a car. This is where they burnt the car out, okay? Outside this gate. And the other car, where we see in the video, was parked right here on this curve. This is the curve where they were parked. After they burned the car there, right? This is where the car was parked, and you could see the tire marks where they sped away down this road, because this is the only entrance in. And had they not made it out of this laneway, they would have been caught if the Garda had done their job. But 2 hours later, they needn't have rushed. They needn't have rushed at all. They could have took that time to take this man's life, which was hiding, terrified, in his bedroom. Right? They would have had the time to murder him over and over again. Over and over again. They would have had the time to murder him 10 times by the time the Garda arrived to this man. He is lucky to be standing here at the end of his driveway today. This has to stop, people. We have to stand up to this tyranny. We have to stand up to this. They have gotten out of hand when the Garda refused to come and protect the innocent. All he is doing is trying to save people's lives.
And telling the truth.
And there was a woman in this gate was a little bit shaken because of the fire. Now, she lives a good distance in there. And she was a bit shaken. And the Garda said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to go see, is that woman okay? Because she's a little bit shook because of the fire that took place out here, not anywhere in near her home, while he was hiding in his bedroom, shaking, watching them on the computer outside his home. Garda Síochána, shame on you. Shame on you for what you allowed this happen to this man. Hang your heads in shame. Over and out for the moment, Diddy.